This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
That it is. We are talking with licensed psychologist and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston today. Corey Richens is the specific case I want to focus on right now. What we've learned recently is that the drugs that she got, the fentanyl that was in that Moscow mule that killed her husband, was obtained through her housekeeper, obviously illegally. You can't just sell the stuff. About $900 for about 15 to 30 pills. She bought them twice from her housekeeper. I guess it's a lot of pills if you're just going to kill one person. I mean, couldn't one just one take somebody out? It is fentanyl and known to be a ridiculously dangerous drug.
You would certainly think so.
Yeah.
Although there are certainly allegations that she had tried before to kill her husband and it was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So I guess one can make the argument that she was going to make sure this time, or at least have enough in supply that if she had to continue to try, she had the ammunition for it.
Sure. And the mindset it would take, it totally shows motive. It shows this was premeditated. I've been planning this out. I'm taking the steps to get there. I guess the question that I think a lot of people have, we see these stories and we go, wow, this looked like it was a somewhat happy home from the outside. But then some people, if they're kind of in a rocky situation, may start looking in their own homes and go, what are the signs that this person admitted that maybe her husband didn't see or did see and just stuck there for the kids, which we do now know that is what he was doing. But do people like this who are planning this, they're planning way in advance for something like this, are there ever signs that one could, take action on other than here's the cocktail, let's do a drug test?
It's interesting because I wrote an article a few years back called the Psychological Profile of a Poisoner. And one of the things that the research kind of showed, which was pretty interesting, Tony, is that, as a group, that poisoners tend to be pretty sneaky. And so when you look at murderers who use other kinds of weapons, they're much more likely to be non-confrontational and to appear to be loving and caring while secretly kind of plotting the demise of their loved one. That money tends to be the primary motive. There were a lot of things, looking at kind of poisoners as a group that Corey Richens kind of tends to fall under that umbrella.
Yeah.
Although I think she was probably a little more aggressive than, the typical poisoner, if you look at the profile.
Sure.
So I think, it runs the gamut, but I think as a group, like I said, people who use poison and who choose to poison somebody do tend to be ones who kind of a lot of times fly under the radar. Now, this is somebody who had allegedly tried to kill somebody a couple of times.
Yeah.
So there was certainly some signs, right? This person, their husband may have been concerned about it.
Yeah,
for sure. So that's clearly a sign. But it is interesting to me, I think, that when you look at the murder weapon, that you can sometimes see some patterns.
Do poisoners look at their crime as the same as someone who reaches for a gun or a knife? Or do they justify poisoning more easily in their mind than a murderer who uses a more, I guess, dramatic weapon, if you will?
Well, I think that it's more, the sneakiness that's involved when you're talking about a poisoner, as opposed to somebody who shoots a gun, or even somebody who personally wants to stab somebody. And there's a lot of anger and rage. One of the things you see, like I said, when you look at poisoners is, while you and I think we know what's going on, we don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. This person is plotting and planning and doing all kinds of things that other people don't know about.
And the ability to do it, fentanyl, not necessarily something you're going to tell is in your Moscow mule. We've heard other stories of people using antifreeze and things of that nature, slowly but surely wearing down someone's liver and things of that nature. Because sometimes when we look at some of these murderers, there's almost like a playbook that some of them go by. Do we see that with murderers that are using poison? Do they tend to kind of go down the same sort of paths prior to executing their plan?
Well, they tend to be, you know, their motive tends to be money, like I was saying, much more so than in a lot of other kinds of murders. They tend to be premeditated. When you think about most murders are not premeditated, right? People get in fight, they slug each other out or whatever. They murder somebody by picking up a baseball bat, hitting them over the head in the middle of an argument. So oftentimes I think they're more educated, they're smarter, they're sneakier. Oftentimes kind of have a problems delaying gratification. I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, I mean, I think it's what the point I think here, Tony, is just when you talk about murder and you talk about the weapon that somebody uses. And of course, poison is a very subtle kind of indirect, kind of sneaky weapon. It's amazing that the weapon choice can really define the crime in a way.
It does.
You can just,
It does, and especially when it matches up then with the personality of the person accused, it can either you look at it and go, well, that's very likely that this person did this, or not so much, depending on the weapon that was used.
Yes, absolutely.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.